الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created time, and time is constantly in motion and is independent of us. Time is constantly in motion and is independent of us. The only responsibility we have is to fill time with things that are valuable. Now, you think about it, subhanAllah, you know, it could have been that we have the responsibility for moving time forward, and then we also have to fill time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have made it that way, that you make so much effort, and then you get a certain window of time, and then you have the opportunity to fill that time. Right? I mean, Allah can create the universe in whichever way He so desires, and there is no one to question Him. But it's a mercy and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that time inherently moves. It's given to us as a gift. And all we have to do is fill it with something. We don't have to create the motion of time. The time is already moving. We just have to fill time with things that are valuable. Then the next question is, if we have to fill time with things that are valuable, then what's the best approach to ensure that we use our time wisely? Because time is a gift, and each person is given that gift. And what distinguishes one person from another is how they fill that time, which is a gift. Look, I mean, you're given 30 years, or 60 years, or 90 years, or whatever amount of time. Each of us is given that as a blessing. That's granted to us. Now, that time is going to pass no matter what you do. Because you don't have the responsibility of moving time. Time will move by itself. You have the responsibility of filling time. So that time is going to pass. If a person is going to live 50 years, no matter what that person does, that 50 years is going to pass. Now, as that 50 years is passing, it's like a conveyor. It's a conveyor belt. What we have to do is that in each moment we have to fill that passing time with something beneficial. If we fill each moment with something beneficial, then on the day of judgment we can cash that in and we can get a very high maqam in Jannah. And if we waste each moment, then it will be a source of great regret for us in the grave, and it'll be a source of great loss for us on the day of judgment. And of course, the worst thing is to fill time with something evil, which we can also manage to do. So, time is independent. It's moving. You get 40 years, you have your 40 years. You get 80 years, you have your 80 years. We have the responsibility of putting something good, avoiding wasting it, and certainly never putting something evil within it. So, in that context, and understanding time in that way, then the question arises, as I raised earlier, how can we maximize filling our time? One way to look at it is to just look at life itself, the average person's life in the society in which we live, and ask, where are the circumstances that arise that fill time in a way that a person would not even recognize? How are people filling their time? And how are they doing it in a way that is the least painful, meaning is the least burdensome upon them? So an example, just as an example, and why I'm actually talking about this, I happened to be driving a couple days ago, and someone asked me the question while I was driving, that what is the miles per gallon that your car receives? What is the miles per gallon on your car? The fuel efficiency. What's the fuel efficiency on your car? So I started thinking. I said, well, you get a number when you buy the car, and they put it on the sticker that this is how many miles per gallon you get in the city. This is how many miles you get per gallon you get on the highway. But then I recognized that there's also a computer in the car. Some cars have this nowadays. There's a computer in the car that calculates the average miles per gallon based on your actual usage. In fact, there's like a little screen, and on that screen it has a graph, and it shows you that literally it shows you that this is your average, this is how much you did it this day, this is how much you did it that day. And actually many cars nowadays actually clock every second. And that's the way they generate that data, by the way. So I was looking at that. I went to that screen and I was looking at that data, and then it also had another feature on that same screen in which it said that your average fuel efficiency is calculated based on a certain number of miles and a certain amount of time. So, it's a computer, and you can reset that computer based on the circumstance in which you decide to create that window. So I didn't know. I mean, the car is just, calculating this data as you're driving all the time. I didn't know that you can set the window and reset the window, and I had never thought about this. But then I started looking at the data, and it said, okay, you've gotten this many miles per gallon. I said, okay. And then it said that you've driven this many miles, which has generated that data, and you've also spent this much time. You've spent this much time in the car over this many miles. So it so happened that the computer, somebody must have reset it, or somehow it got reset. It was at about 1,867 miles, roughly. So the computer was basing its calculation on 1,867 miles. So I said, wow, 1,867 miles, this was my average fuel efficiency. And then I was looking at the other data that's generated in that period of time, just out of curiosity. I didn't know that this was even being recorded. So I looked at the next figure, and the next figure says that how much time have you spent driving? How much time? Okay, so you've driven in this window, you've driven 1,867 miles. So how much time did it take you to drive 1,867 miles based on your actual usage? So then I'm looking at the number, and I'm just blown away. I said, there's no way. How can it be? It says 86 hours and 17 minutes. I'm thinking, subhanAllah, I spent 86 hours and 17 minutes in this car. If somebody said you have to sit in the car for 86 hours and 17 minutes, you would be going crazy. I'm thinking, I spent 86 hours. What am I doing in this car for 86 hours? And then I started thinking, okay, but wait a minute. That's 1,867 miles. So how long did it take me to drive 1,867 miles? It's like 2 months. So it's not 86 hours and however, 87 hours roughly since I bought the car. It's 87 hours in the last 2 months that were in the car. And then I started thinking, subhanAllah, that much time of my life has gone and I didn't even recognize that I spent that much time. It was just completely shocking to me. Now, I mean, you could do so many things in the car. I started thinking, 87 hours, what are the different things you can do? You could probably memorize Adzav, the Quran, in 87 hours. You could do so much of dhikr in 87 hours. You could do so many things in 87 hours. And I started thinking that, wow, a person who uses their time wisely in the car, they're able to achieve so much. But look how much time is spent in a place that a person doesn't even recognize it. Now then, for me it was shocking. Then I started asking people in my family. I said, I was looking at the computer and it said this, so how much time do you think I spent in the car in the last 2 months? So, one person said, oh, you spent 10 hours. I said, no, double it. Then I said, no. Then they said, 20. I said, no. They said, 40. Then I said, no. They said 80. I said, no. I said, there's no, it's not possible. It's not possible. But it was 87 hours. And then another person I asked, who I happened to bump into, I said, how much time do you think I spent in the car in the last... I drove this much. How much time do you think I spent in the car? And they said, oh, you probably spent 80 hours. I said, oh, that's a good calculation. And then they said, yeah, because, you know, you drive this much and this much and this much. So the person was obviously thinking about the problem. So then I said, yeah, 87 hours in 2 months. And then the person looked at me and said, 2 months? I was thinking since you bought the car, 2 years or a year or whatever it is, 2 months, that's crazy. You spend that on the internet. You know, people are just shocked by that much time. But then what's actually more shocking is that it's not even me. It's everybody. It's everybody. Because then I started looking, okay, what is the average amount of time that the average person spends in a car daily, in a year, in a month? And it's roughly the same. So maybe it's a little more, a little less, depending on the who, but on average, it's roughly the same. And then I was thinking, subhanAllah, this much time goes by, but you don't feel it. You feel it. Obviously, it's a pain to have to drive so much. But in general, you know, you're not feeling it regularly because the secret to filling time is consistency. When a person is consistent with something, then time gets filled in such a way that they don't feel it, but a small thing becomes something very big in the end. Now, then you think about any example. You know, if I said to you, okay, you have to spend 87 hours in the car in the next 2 months, you would say, please, no, I can't do that. That's impossible. What are you talking about? That's craziness. Who would spend 87 hours, right? No one in their right mind would be able to do that if you gave them that as an independent challenge, right? But it becomes possible when a person is not even thinking about it, and it's just a small amount each day that eventually adds up. You know, a person spends 45 minutes here and then drives to the masjid for 10 minutes there and drives back for 10 minutes and then drives to the grocery store for 10 minutes. And you just start adding it all up, and eventually it becomes something very big that you would have never been able to do if you had to independently tackle that issue. And that's actually the secret of consistency, which is that being consistent in something with small pieces allows an individual to independently do something that they would have never been able to do had they had to tackle the whole. For example, if I said to you that, you know, you are required to pray, right, and you are required to pray, roughly 1,800 salah in a year, you'd start thinking, 1,800 salah, how am I going to pray 1,800 salah in a year? Or you could even multiply out the rakahs and you can get into the 20,000, you know, whatever the number is. But the reality is that everybody in this room does that, because you do 5 prayers in a day and then you take those 5 prayers in roughly 400 days in a year. I know it's 360, whatever, but it's 400 roughly, right? So you have 5 times 4, that's 2,000, okay? Then you can multiply out the rakahs if you want, that there's 2 and then 4 and then 4 and then 3 and then 4 and add them all, multiply them out. And if I gave you the number, you would say it's not possible. I'll be just sitting praying all the time. But the reality is that when you break it down bit by bit and a person begins to slowly attack this problem without ever recognizing that they're actually going to have to do something much bigger, then it becomes very doable and very manageable. People do it every day. The average person is driving and spending hours and hours and hours and hours and hours in the car in a month, in a year, and they don't feel it. Similarly with the amount of time spent on the internet. Similarly with the amount of time sleeping. Similarly with the amount of time eating. There's all this data. Then I started digging into all this stuff, and I started recognizing that so much time is spent eating, so much time is spent sleeping, so much time is spent cleaning, so much time is spent changing, so much time is spent, you know, taking a shower every day. I mean, it's just amazing how much time a person spends. They would never believe that they spent that much time. But the reality is that you don't have to think about the whole, you think about the pieces. So each day you approach the piece, and as you approach the piece, it eventually becomes something whole. And that is the secret by which we make ourselves efficient and achieve things within anything and within any aspect of our lives, particularly deen. Now, you know, we know that there's a famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا, right? The most beloved deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the consistent deeds, even if they be small. The most beloved deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the consistent deeds, even if they be small. Now, why are the consistent deeds so beloved? Because it's small consistency that leads to big achievements. It's small consistency that leads to big achievements. So if a person consistently drives to work every day, then they achieve this large number of hours present in the car. If a person consistently prays every day, then they achieve this large number of prayers that they will have achieved. Now, you know, maybe the other way to look at it from the prayer perspective is to look at it backwards. You know, some people, they don't recognize the importance of their deen until later in their life. So, you know, prayer becomes mandatory at a certain age, and then a person doesn't wake up to their deen maybe for 10 years or 7 years or whatever it might be. And then they have to make up those prayers. And anybody who's ever experienced that circumstance or who's talked to people who have experienced that circumstance knows how difficult of a process it is to try to make up prayers over for a 5-year period or 6-year period or 7-year period or 10-year period. It's very difficult, nearly impossible. Very few people on the planet can actually do it. Why? Because now it's a huge task, but the person easily can pray those prayers over the next 10 years, meaning their own prayers, the coming prayers over the next 10 years, and pray that same number of prayers. When you break it up into small pieces and make it consistent, it becomes doable. When you present it to the person and say you owe 2,000 prayers, it's impossible. They can't fathom being able to do it. Same with fasting, or whatever else a person's trying to make up. So the secret to filling time, right? Time we don't affect. Time is there, whether you have 70 years, 80 years, 50 years, 20 years. That's there, that's given, that's set, that's already in motion. The secret to filling time is to be regular and consistent in the deeds that we perform, even if it be small, but to be consistent. If a person wants to interact with the Quran, then it doesn't happen in a month. It doesn't happen in a year. It happens over decades by regularly spending time with the Quran on a daily basis. Now you look at the daily routine that we establish, and we say every day a person should spend 20 minutes with the Quran. Right? This is one of the basic premises of our advancement. If a person spends 20 minutes with the Holy Quran every single day, over time that adds up to something enormous. I can tell you that if a person actually spent 20 minutes every day trying to learn the Quran and eventually trying to memorize the Holy Quran, they would probably be able to come very close to becoming a hafiz of the Quran, if not completing the task. Maybe not to the extent that they could sit down and recite 10 juz straight, but certainly they would become extremely familiar with the Quran. 20 minutes a day. Now you think 20 minutes a day is nothing. 20 minutes a day is the time that a person takes when they go in, brush their teeth, floss, and come out. It's about 10 minutes. If you brush your teeth and floss, everybody's thinking. But anyway, I mean, the point is that very small amount of time, but it leads to a very big result on the Day of Judgment. Similarly, we say that, you know, a person should read 100 istighfar and 100 salawat regularly, consistently on a daily basis. 100 istighfar, 100 salawat, it doesn't take much time. And it adds up to something enormous. But if a person says, no, I'm not going to read 100 istighfar and 100 salawat today, I'm going to leave it till the end of the month, and on the last day of the month, you know, 100 times 30 is 3,000. Okay? I'm going to read 3,000 istighfar. I'm going to read 3,000 salawat. They won't be able to do it. Nobody will be able to do it. They'll read 10 or 20 or 100 or 200 when they'll be out of breath. They'll be, how am I going to get to it? 3,000. So what is broken up into tiny consistency, what is broken up into regular small consistency, allows for goals to be achievable that would never be achieved otherwise. Whether that be 20 minutes of Quran a day, 100 istighfar and salawat daily, a certain amount of dhikr in a day, a certain amount of sadaqah in a day, a certain amount of time in the masjid in a day, those things can't be replaced at the end of the week or the end of the month or the end of the year. Nor can their effect be replaced. The effect of 100 istighfar daily or 100 salawat daily is far greater than 3,000 salawat at the end of the month. So the ball's in our court. And it's much easier. This is a blessing of our Lord that time has been put into place. We only have to fill it, and you don't even have to do very much for it to become a very large amount. Now, anybody who wants to succeed in anything in life, it's the exact same way. You want to become a good basketball player. You can't sit for 24 hours and just dribble and then say, now I'm going to become a good basketball player. But if you spent 20 minutes every day shooting, eventually your shot will improve and you'll become a very good player over time. It's like anything, like, you know, math. You can't just not study, and at the end of the year do the whole math textbook. It doesn't work that way. First of all, you won't be able to do it. Second of all, you won't be able to retain it even if you did it. What makes you successful is that every day you do a little bit, and that's what makes a good teacher. The good teachers in math aren't necessarily the ones that are brilliant in the way they explain. They keep the student on track. They do a little bit every day, and that little bit becomes additive, and it eventually produces a result that a whole textbook becomes complete, or a whole knowledge base is formed. Whether that be reading, whether that be writing, whether that be math, whether that be athletics, anything in life is the exact same way. And even more so in deen. Deen is, this principle in deen is established by our experience, and is stamped and verified by the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or you could put it the other way, it's stamped and verified by the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's only further brought out by our experience. And it's the secret to the sauce. It's the secret to success in the deen. And at every angle, if a person wants to gain knowledge in deen, the way you gain knowledge is by consistently studying every day. You don't need to be in Damascus in order to say, okay, now I'm going to study. Only when I end up in Damascus, then I'm going to study. It doesn't work that way. The person needs to consistently study every day. If they happen to end up in Damascus, they'll study more at that time. But every single day has to be exactly the same. And when they study in that way, they'll achieve something at the end. If a person wants to achieve progress in their dhikr, it's the same way. You don't just show up and then all of a sudden, you know, now you're in the gathering and so now you're going to achieve something. There's benefits to all gatherings, but consistency far outweighs and allows a person to maximize on the opportunity. And again, every angle, person wants to become hafiz of Quran, the way you become hafiz of Quran is regular daily interaction consistently with the Holy Quran. You want to learn Arabic, regular daily interaction with the Arabic language, etc., etc. So our success is based on consistency, because consistency leads to results, and it creates a mountain of, with a small effort, it creates a mountain of results. That's the secret. And Shaitan knows that. Shaitan knows that that's the secret, and so Shaitan generates laziness in human beings so that they don't do things consistently, and instead tries to excite them to do it in a big lump. That's the way Shaitan works. Shaitan is no fool. Shaitan knows how to bring a person one level beneath who they are. So Shaitan doesn't go to the person who's pious and righteous and then tell them, do kufr. That's not going to happen. Shaitan knows that that's not the way you work on human beings. Shaitan sees, okay, this person is doing something, so how can I bring them one notch below? And then one notch below, and then one notch below. So if a person has got aspirations and goals, then the way to bring them down one notch is to make them inconsistent so that they never achieve their aspirations and goals. Because consistency is the means by which a person achieves things in life. So we have to be particularly cognizant of the importance of consistency. Which is why we keep emphasizing the same principle. Spend some time in Quran every day. Spend some time making istighfar every day. Spend some time making salawat every day. Spend some time doing dhikr every day. Consistently come to the masjid every day. These things eventually add up. And on the day of judgment, we don't feel them, but on the day of judgment, there'll be mountains of deeds because of them. Just like in the same way, I'm looking at the number of hours that were spent in the car, and I'm completely blown away by where did that much time come, and how could I have spent that much time in the car? I only appreciated it after it happened, because it consistently occurred on a daily basis, even to the extent that I didn't feel it. I myself was blown away by how much time I had spent in the car, because it was slowly, consistently done, without even thinking what I was doing. So this is the secret to deen. أَحَبُّ الْعَمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا. The most beloved deeds are the consistent ones. Why? Because consistency leads to effect, and consistency leads to results, and consistency leads to a small degree of consistency leads to creating a large amount of result. So we have to be particularly cognizant of this. Like I said in the beginning, time is moving. You can't control that. And whatever time we've been given, we can't control that. Every moment that passes, it's like a conveyor belt. We fill it. We fill it with something. Now, you can fill it with time on the screen, or you can fill it with dhikr of Allah, or you can fill it with interaction with Quran, or you can fill it with sadaqah, or doing a good deed, whatever it might be. But that's on us. And the easiest way to fill it is to be consistent. We don't need to do a lot. We don't even need to pick a very diverse set of, you know, you don't have to say, I'm going to study this book and this book. It's just very simple. I'm going to spend this much time daily doing A. I'm going to spend this much time doing B. I'm going to spend this much time doing C. It can be a small amount regularly, and a person will achieve great things. In fact, I can even tell you that even if you just said that, okay, I'm not going to do anything, just make one rule for yourself. I'm never going to do anything except only when I'm in the car, I'm going to do my dhikr, my Quran, and whatever else I have to do. Just only when I'm in the car. If you just made that rule for yourself, for the vast majority of people, given the average amount of time spent in the car daily, you would become a wali. People would become awliya just from using their time in their car wisely. And I told you there's a brother I know that memorized the whole Quran just driving in the car. And how is his memorization? He leads the whole tarawih prayer by himself. SubhanAllah. And he memorized at a late age, not at 10 years old, you know. Just in the car. He had to go to work, come back. So he filled his time just memorizing. And then SubhanAllah, you know, years passed and everybody else was just playing games, you know. And the whole time passed and we're all playing games, and so there's nothing to show for it. And at the end he comes to me and he says, you know, I happen to memorize the Quran. I didn't even know that guy was memorizing the Quran. I had no clue. He would just while he's driving. And then he said, you know, I would stop on occasion and I would recite the whatever I had memorized to the teacher, 10 minutes on the, you know, on the way to work, 15, 20 minutes, whatever it was, and totally solid. Totally solid and enjoying life in a way that very few people will ever be able to enjoy. You know, you can only imagine the enjoyment that comes from a person who has memorized Quran and is regularly reciting Quran and is just, you know, I mean, they're like angels, those kind of people that are just all constantly all day just walking around reciting like that. So this is something that we should appreciate, and there are examples around us of people who recognize it. And everybody knows, everybody who is successful knows this basic principle. Businesses know this principle. People who are athletes know this principle. Olympians, now there's Olympics is coming. Olympians know that the way by which you become special is by being consistent in what you do. So we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us consistent and that He allow us to be able to achieve big things with the small amount of effort that we are able to perform. Wa akhiru ta'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.